Zechariah chapter 10 and the verse 12 is the verse that I would wish to leave with you today. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. It is evident that this verse is a word to the people of God, a word of God to his folk. It is evident also that he views his people when he speaks these words. He views his people as weak. He views them as frail. He must do so because he says, I will strengthen them. So he obviously sees his people as weak. He perceives what they are in themselves. He perceives and understands their frailty. Because, you see, God is an understanding God. He is. He knows your weakness. He knows your frailty. He perceives and understands that. You cannot understand our text this morning unless you see the heart of him who speaks it. I will strengthen them. His heart sees his people as weak. His heart sees his people as frail. The Lord sees his feeble, struggling saints, his people in affliction, his people in captivity, his sickly, bedridden congregation. He sees them. And it is as if the Lord comes to the bedside of his feeble folk, see them in their weakness, and he comes to them and he says, I will strengthen them in the Lord. And they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. It's as if the Lord comes to the bedside where we're lying. He comes beside us and he speaks into the ear of the saint who feels he has no energy, who feels he's no strength to pray even, who feels he has no ability to go up and down in the things of God, who feels he doesn't even have the spiritual stammer to read the word of God, who doesn't even have the spiritual desire to go up to the house of God. He says concerning his feeble folk with their sickly desires, he says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name. He brings the promise of convalescence to his bedridden people. Psalm 103 and the verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He perceives it. As a father perceives the weakness of the child, and pity comes out of his heart. John Bunyan had many children, but he had a blind daughter, and he had a particular fondness and love for her because she was the weak child, you see. She was the feeble lass. She was the blind daughter. And he had a very understanding regard for her. The Lord does as well. He pities his feeble folk. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, and he knows it as a kind physician to come along beside us and remedy it. I will strengthen them, and they'll walk up and down in my name. So the Lord perceives and understands their frailty. But not only that, the Lord, when he speaks this word, he perceives and understands the force of the enemies of his people. Because when he says, I will strengthen them,
He perceives that they're not only weak in themselves, he understands and sees that their enemies are very strong. And their enemies are very numerous. The verse previous speaks about the pride of Assyria. And the scepter are the rule and power of Egypt. They're mentioned in the preceding verse. And the Lord sees his sheep. And that's what he sees them as, sheep. And where are his sheep? He knows where they are. They're in the midst of wolves. They're out in the wilderness, wild and burr, where the roaring lion is, and the wild beasts of the night. His sheep are in the midst of a hostile world, and in the midst of hostile nations, and in the midst of hostile people. His poor sheep, they are gentle, because the gospel has made them gentle. They are meek and lowly because the gospel has made them meek and lowly. And they cannot resort to the devices of the heathen around them. They cannot resort to hostility. They cannot resort to lying and deceit and cover up. They cannot resort to the carnal means of defending themselves in the midst of a hostile world, because they're honest and they're true and they're gentle sheep made so through the power of the gospel. And the Lord sees this. And he says, I'll strengthen them. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away, and I'll strengthen them. Oh, we live in the midst of a hostile world, child of God. It is not a friend of us. It is not a friend of grace. Think of Isaac. The Lord blessed him. Oh, but the Philistines envied him. And envying him, they contended with him and had strife with him and gave him a hard time. And what could poor Isaac do but move on to another place, until finally he could say, Rehoboam, the Lord has made room for me. He's just a sheep, you see. In the midst of a hostile world, the Lord knows this. Child of God, you have had to face the lies of the world. You have had to face the antagonism of the ungodly. You have had to face the opposition. You have had to experience the isolation and the sneers of the wicked. But the Lord sees it. The Lord understands it. It has drained your strength. But the Lord perceives that you are but a poor sheep in the midst of wolves. He knows it and he feels it. And he says, I will strengthen them. He hath not left you, child of God, to warfare in your own strength. But not only does he perceive our frailty and our weakness, not only does this text assure us that he perceives the strength and force of our enemies, as well as all this, the Lord perceives the difficulty of the tasks that we have to do in his service, and the difficulty of the trials that we have to face in his service. The Lord knows. We have to walk up and down, you see, in his name. But it's very hard. It's very difficult. And the Lord perceives this. In our walk in life, we have to go up. We have to go up in the things of the Lord. We have to go up in the things of God. We're traveling to glory, child of God, aren't we? So we're marching upward. We're marching upward to glory. We're coming up out of the wilderness. And we're going upward, and it's hard. It's uphill all the way. Has anyone ever found walking up the mountains easy? And all our service for God is uphill. It's against our flesh. It's against our corrupt nature. It's hard for us to pray at times. It's hard for us to ascend to God's house at times. Sometimes even the desire isn't there. It's hard. It's hard for us to be always praying and reading the scriptures. Hard to live the Christian life. Hard to be always faithful. Walking up. The Lord knows it.
Much of our Christian experience seems to be fits and starts, doesn't it? Many a disappointment we are to ourselves and to the Lord. Yes, the Lord knows it's hard. But he says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up. He doesn't excuse our guilt in it all, of course. But he's gracious. And he's pardoning. And he's pitiful. And he comes along beside us. This is a compassionate word today of our pitying God. And then there's a walking down as well. And we don't like that. That's hard also. There are times we have to go into the valley. There are times we have to make the descent into the trials. There are times we have to leave the heat of the sun and the warmth of the upper regions and go down into the cold, drafty, dull places of trial and difficulty. There are times we have to go down in his name. There are times when he brings us down like Daniel into the lion's den. There are times when he brings us down like the three brethren into the fiery furnace. We don't want to go down there. We haven't the strength to go down there. We're like Joseph at times, and he brings us down into the pit where there's no water. And sometimes he brings us down into Egypt where the world is, and we don't want to go there because it's going to be hard and difficult. And sometimes he brings us down into the prison, into bondage, into captivity, and we're straitened. And we haven't the strength to go down there. We can't face the bad news that will come to our door saying, it's time to walk down, child of God. We haven't the strength for it. The Lord knows we don't want to go down either. We can't face going down. Yes, the Lord knows it's not easy. Do you think he is an unfeeling God when he comes to take us by the hand to walk us down? Do you think he's harsh and unfeeling? He is no such thing, for he says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up, yes, and they shall walk down as well. In his name, saith the Lord. Our high priest is touched with the feelings of our weakness. This verse proves it. Exodus chapter 3 and the verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've surely seen it, the Lord says. The Lord sees your affliction. I have surely seen it, he says. The affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And he says this also, for I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. The Lord knows your sorrows, child of God. I know. Do you think the Lord doesn't know? I have surely seen. Underline it. He says, I've surely seen it. The people of God have missed it. Your minister has failed to observe it, perhaps. But the Lord says, I've surely seen it. I've surely seen it. And he is ministering to you this morning from his word. I know their sorrows. I know them. And in the understanding of all this, the tender shepherd comes alongside the feeble, embattled, battered, fleece-torn, frightened poor sheep and says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Are you sick this morning? Are you weak today? Are you sad? Are you saying, I can't cope? Are you finding the warfare too difficult, the path too hard? Christian, this is your text. God's prescription for the spiritually bedridden. Divine strength. I will strengthen them. And they shall walk. I want you to notice three things. First of all, the promise of divine strength. The promise of divine strength. I will strengthen them, saith the Lord. It is the God of Israel that promises this. I will strengthen them in the Lord, saith the Lord. The God of Israel is he that gives strength unto his people. God alone strengthens his people. God alone sustains them and upholds them. God alone empowers his folk. God alone does it. We read in Isaiah 41 and the verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong arm. Or 40 verse 10. The Lord God will come with strong arm, and his arm shall rule for him. The Lord comes to his people with a strong hand. And then in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. It's the Lord comes with a strong hand. It's the Lord who strengthens his people. You will notice in Isaiah 41 verse 10 that the child of God is not left alone. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's not left alone to do it all in his own strength. How can I serve God? How can I continue praying in instant and season and out of season and continue witnessing? How can I continue in the midst of a hostile world? How can I live the Christian life? Fear not. I'm with thee. I will strengthen thee. It's the Lord who is the source of this strength. You will notice that in the text there are two commands in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. They are commands to the emotional life of the child of God. Fear not, be not dismayed. And there are five reasons given why you should not fear and why you should not be dismayed. One, I am with thee. I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. And I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These are five commands why we should not fret in the Christian life for any reason. And one of them is, the Lord says, because I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to strengthen you. Not only does omniscience see our need, but what I'm saying this morning is, tender love feels for it, and omnipotence provides for it. I will strengthen them. And whenever God says, I will, you can be sure that's what he will do. You can be sure of it. I will. Do we believe the Lord this morning? He is faithful that promised. He cannot deny himself. He's very definite about what he will do, and we should not doubt it. The Baptist commentator John Gill says that the words, I will strengthen them, literally can be rendered, I will cause them to prevail. I will cause them to overcome. And he's quite right in that the word strength is normally translated prevail. It's in a different grammatical form here, however. But it normally is translated prevail. And it is that translation which occurs frequently in Genesis chapter 7 about the flood increasing. Increasing so much that it rises and it prevails over the land and it keeps on rising and it prevails over the mountain tops and covers all the heights. And that's the word that God uses about his people. I'll cause them to prevail. I'll lift them above the troubles. I'll lift them up and they'll never be overwhelmed. Oh, it'll be hard. It'll be difficult, there'll be trials, there'll be tears, but nevertheless, they'll not be totally overwhelmed. I'll cause them to prevail. I'll make them more than overcomers. Prevailers. In his name. The Lord promises that he will make his people conquerors, that ultimately they shall prevail over all their enemies, over all their trials, over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Lord has promised we will be prevailers. In life, and certainly at the end of the day, in death, we'll be total overcomers. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus and the promises of his wonderful, gracious mouth. Child of God, the Lord will not let you totally be overrun. He won't. He can't. He said, I'll make them prevail in his name. And they shall walk up and down, saith the Lord. And so there is the promise. This is a promise that is given unto us of divine strength. But then secondly, I want you to observe, child of God, that the person in whom this strength is found. I want you to notice now very carefully the text and the wording of it, because it does look like bad grammar and poor language, but as we come to explain it, you will see what the Holy Spirit intends in the meaning. He says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, saith the Lord. I will strengthen them in the Lord, saith the Lord. Do you see, it is the Lord who promises the divine strength, but it is also in the Lord that this strength is found. The person in whom the strength is found. The promise of strength is from the Lord, and that strength is found in the Lord. The same Jehovah, because the black capitals L-O-R-D mean Jehovah in the original Hebrew text. There are two persons in the text. That's what I'm saying to you. There are two persons in the text. I will strengthen them in Jehovah, saith Jehovah. There are two persons. He does not say, I will strengthen them in myself, saith the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in my name, saith the Lord. No, the Lord saith, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name. There is another person in the text, the one Jehovah, the same name, but two persons, two different and distinct persons. There is the one speaking, the one promising the strength, and there is the one in whom the promises are made sure. The same Jehovah, the one eternal God, but clearly a distinction of persons in that one being. And I remind you, brethren and sisters, of our baptismal formula. The God in whose name, the one divine name in which we are baptized, but three persons. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The one name, the name of God, but the distinction of persons in the Godhead. There are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our text is the Father promising that our strength shall be found in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is our strength. We are strengthened in him. We read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 45 and the verse 24, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Now, do you see here, child of God, that the one in whom we have righteousness is the one in whom we have strength, and that's Christ. Because he is the one who has wrought for us an everlasting righteousness in dying for us on the cross and in living for us a sinless life on the earth. He is our righteousness. He is our strength. And he is the one to whom men come. And we have come to him to be saved. And sinner, that's what you must do. You must come to Christ to be saved. to find in him first of all your righteousness, and you will not find him to be your strength until you first find him to be your righteousness. You will not first find him to be your sanctification before you find him to be your salvation. Righteousness first, and then strength to live the Christian life. You need Christ as your Savior, sinner. You need to be saved. You need to come to him and find in him your righteousness. And when you do, you will also find in him your strength. So be among them that come to Christ, and conversely, on the other hand, we read of those that shall be incensed against him. The Christ acceptor, the Christ rejecter. Which are you this morning? Have you come to him? Or are you incensed against him? And say, I don't want him. I don't want the Lord Jesus. And I don't want his gospel. When you find the Savior, you will find the strength that he shall give you. You say, I cannot live the Christian life. It is true, you cannot. Neither can I. But Jesus is our strength. And through his grace, he will make us ultimately overcomers. And we shall prevail. This is the place the Christian is in. In the place where he shall receive strength. Where is that place? Well, look again at our text in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 12. I will strengthen them in the Lord. That's the place. That's the place where you'll receive strength, in the Lord, in Christ. And you need to be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you'll receive strength. And that's where we get our strength, children of God, isn't it? We get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. And he's purchased for us that strength as sinners. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. Yes, he did. This strength was purchased for us by his blood. We could have been left to perish in our weakness. We could have been left to perish in our frailty. We could have been left to be destroyed by the ungodly and by the lion who goes about, the roaring lion, the devil. He could have left us, but he didn't. He died for us, and he lives for us, and he calls us in the gospel. And he assures us he is righteousness to us and will be strength to us as well. He purchased for us the strength because he was made weak for us. He was strong, but he became the weakest of all. He became the frailest of all. He died upon the cross in weakness, in shame. And he says to us, as he hangs upon the cross, my strength is dried up like a piece of broken pottery, burnt up and dried out in the scorching sun. My strength is dried up. Yes, Lord, it was dried up. It was dried up because I was strengthless. And thy strength was dried up, that I might have thy strength. And now he is risen from the grave and ascended up on high, and all power is given unto him, and the man in glory gives us it till he brings us to himself in our heavenly home. Paul said, I can do all things. That's a very bold statement, Paul. Yes. If I stop, there it is. But let me say the end, saith the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. Be strong in the Lord, then, child of God, and in the power of his might. Trust in him, abide in him, ever believe in him, ever cling to him, ever commune with him. Psalm 28 and the verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped.
He'll help you, dear Christian.
And you'll be able to say these words, my heart trusted in him. He is my strength. I can't get through today, but I'm looking to him. And I'll be able to say by the end of it, I was helped. May we always be able to say, the Lord helped me. And so the person in whom this strength is found, even our blessed and altogether gracious Lord Jesus Christ. But not only the promise, the person whom is found, but I want you to notice lastly the product of this divine strength. Because the Lord says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. They shall walk up and down in his name. Those thus strengthened by Christ will be able to get through the day. They'll walk up and down. Those who have been upon the bed of spiritual sickness, I will make them walk up and down in Christ's name. Those thus wrought upon by the divine strength, those strengthened by Christ, are going to have a glorious walk. Are you enjoying your walk with God? Are you having a glorious walk with the Lord in Christ? You should be, because you're promised it. You're promised it. A glorious walk. They shall walk. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham, the friend of God, walked with God. A glorious walk. A wonderful consistency. Because walking is a consistent thing, a continuous thing. They shall walk up and down. A consistency in their Christian life and in their Christian experience. It's promised you in Jesus. The strength of it is provided for you in your Christ. And there's a wonderful liberty. They'll walk up and down. Oh yes, there'll be the wicked. There'll be the pride of Syrians gathered round you. There'll be the hostility of the Egyptians. There'll be the strife and the contention. But you'll have a glorious liberty in your soul. A glorious liberty that comes in walking with Christ. You'll walk up and down anyway. And the world will look on. And they'll say, why don't they sink? Why don't they go down? Oh, they don't see their King. They don't see the power of glory that sustains them, that keeps that life ebbing in their soul in the midst of the greatest hostility possible. They'll walk up and down. They'll have liberty and freedom. They'll have a joyful overcoming. Overcoming the world, yes, overcoming the devil. Overcoming everything. More than conquerors through him that loved him, they overcame him that is the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And then there's useful activity, isn't there, in walking up and down. Oh, we need Christians who will serve the Lord. Christians who will be found in their place, walk up to it faithfully week by week and walk down from it week by week, found in their going up and found in their going down. We need Christians of consistency and service who have their pattern of going up to the house of God and going down from it and going up to the place of prayer and going down from it and going up to their closet to pray and going down from it. Oh, we need this consistent service among the people of God. It is the strength of the Lord alone that will enable us to do it. I will strengthen them.
and they shall. Not they might, not they may, not they could, but they shall walk up and down, and they'll do it not to be seen of men. They'll do it not for the glory of their own name. They'll do it for His name. Walking up and down in His name. Going up to the house of God for Jesus. Going down from the house of God for Jesus. Going up to the place of prayer for Christ. And going down again from it. All for the Lord Jesus. The one who strengthens us. The one who gives us the desire for it. Consecrate it to Him. In His name, that one name that they love, that one name that they adhere to, that one name that they follow, the only name in which we meet, the name that prevails, the name that shall never depart from this house, that glorious name, and no other name shall ever be joined in it, and no other name shall ever replace it, the name of Jesus. His name, saith the Lord, walking in His name. And if needs be, if I think upon the going down a wee bit more, if needs be the going down, if needs be going down into the valley, if needs be going down into the darkness, if needs be going down into the cooler temperatures of this hostile world, if there needs be the going down, we'll go down too in His name. If He determines it, if He sets His hand upon it and says, "Now, child of God, it is a time for you to be going down," Lord, in your name, Lord, if we must face it, in your name, we'll go down. Just give me the strength. Just give me the grace. And I'll go down, Lord. Paul had a thorn in his flesh once. It made him go down. He didn't want to go down. He said, "Lord, take it away. Remove it from me." He prayed thrice in seasons of intense praying, no doubt. And at last he received the answer that, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord Jesus said, "Paul, you have to go down. But my grace will be sufficient for you, Paul, in your going down. And you'll find that my strength will be made marvelously perfect in your weakness." And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, that name, may rest upon me." I want His power. I want His strength. I want that strength. I want that power to prevail. And if it means going down in His name before I experience it, then take me there. So, dear child of God, every morning say, "The Lord is my strength." And whenever you get up in the morning and going to say to yourself, "How am I going to get through this day?" Say to yourself, "The Lord is my strength." You have said it, Lord. You will strengthen me in your Christ, and I'll walk up and down. I have to do it, Lord. Help me. Give me the strength. What's the alternative, child of God? What's the alternative? You know what the alternative is? Nothing. Because Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Which do you want? The promise of the text, in belief and faith, or the nothing, in perpetual doubt and unbelief? Which is it? Believe God. Trust in Him. At all times, let us pray.